Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Was Jeremiah speaking to anybody? Was there really a Lord that he was calling upon? He did say that, did he not? O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In our study today about Christian evidences and the idea of God existing, we raise a question, does he really exist? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, he affirms that he does. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He emphasizes that he is. When we read there in Jeremiah, O Lord, when we turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and we see the Apostle Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, and also to the Greek. What are we saying here? Was there a God? Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? He said that it was. Was he correct in saying he wasn't ashamed of the gospel? For it was the power of God unto salvation. When I read the rest of the New Testament of our Bible, I find that time and time again, reference is made to this God. And I see that historically, we leave the Bible now and turn to the writings of Gibbon and others about the Roman Empire. And we read where the early disciples of the Lord who believed in God and believed in Jesus were put in severe punishment. House arrest was not the least of their problems. The Colosseum was a place where they were drawn, and it became a very popular place for animals to devour these who were Christians. Yet the Christianity grew. More and more membership was of the church, and bigger did it become. Were they doing the right thing? Could they believe that that was God in heaven, that Christ was his son, that in fact it was worthy to do their teaching and their honor, even though they may have lost their physical life? When we raise these particular questions about the existence of God, we raise questions in regard to the mankind and his motivation. What's the motive of man to do the things that he does? We read a number of works, and we read works of those who believe in God, those who don't believe in God, the various philosophers of the world, and we see that they all say the same message. Man does those things that benefits himself. We tend to drink water because it benefits us. We tend to shy away from known poisons and find ourselves bitter things that we really cautiously go about because of the poisons that it may be. And as a result, we find ourselves honoring life. When we find ourselves getting sick and sicker, we find ourselves seeking out medication, instruction from others as to what they've done to overcome this, that, and the other. It may come from certain roots that they got oils from, and thereby they found themselves a way of doing it and getting better. But the idea is, did they get better? And if they got better, then the word spread, and various other companies evolved in which they found that kind of root. They extracted that particular oil or that particular powder from that root. And as a result of that, we've got aspirin available to people in tons these days. Why does man do what he does? To benefit himself. If that's true of our health and our medication and of the love of our life, marriage tends to be with those that benefit us. then can we raise the question, should we not apply that same factor back to the people who suffered so mightily because they believed in God and believed in Jesus Christ and were willing to go to the Colosseum and to the various crucifixions, the various deaths that they suffered? What's another thing that man does? Man tends to choose those things that benefits himself. He chooses also to find himself threatening those who harm him. These are the disciples of the Lord, rather than get an army together and fight against those who harm them, found themselves loving people and caring for people. That's why they grew. The historians will tell us with one voice, it was because the early Christians, as they went out to serve, and they helped people who were their enemies as well as their family members, and because of the teaching that they gave as they were helping, conversions were made and more people all the time were being added to the body of Christ. More and more it was growing. It led some of the historians of that day and time to say that it was blood of those who were the saints of God that was the fertilizer for the growth of Christianity. Treating it as a garden spot, as it were, the blood was the fertilizer that caused more and more growth to take place. It wasn't that they were just suffering and dying, but rather in their suffering and dying, they were serving the needs of others round about them. And because they were willing to serve in such a way, they had a profound impact upon the lives of other individuals. They were doing things that were the opposite of human nature. Human nature, we recognize, is to protect oneself and to be around those individuals that help us. And conversions to those people who helped them resulted in the growth of the early church in such a massive way that no matter were they losing their lives, their acts of service were outliving their day and time. They were known historically for all their actions of service. And who taught them those actions of service? What were his words about those actions of service? When Jesus said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." In the midst of Luke chapter 10, he's telling them about the Good Samaritan. And he's telling them about the deeds that he did. And he's telling them in these words to the innkeeper, "Take care of him. If there's more owed, I will pay you when I return." Does that sound like the way of human nature? No, it doesn't. But it does sound like the way that Jesus taught, and it sounds exactly like the way that these people lived, though they died for it. What is a custom and habit of mankind? To be around those individuals that help him. What's another thing about mankind? Mankind seeks to sometimes be selfish and add up monies and monies and power and power and lands and houses and to name those things after himself and his honors and monuments to be there and so forth and so on. What do we find of these individuals that were the apostles of the Lord? Peter and Andrew and James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, and Judas Iscariot. Paul, the apostle of our Lord. What do we find about their lives? Well, we find that others did various things about talking about them, and others did various things about writing about them. But do we find them amassing great estates and great mansions and great ownership of properties and great? No, we do not.